You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride!
This is so sick. This is a beat from Wake and Bake Beats. It's called Vishnu. It's just fucking haunting, and it goes on like 4 minutes. And they got all this gnarly Vietnam footage in here, man. So it just makes everything so, I don't know. There's so many things that are at odds with itself. See, just jungle warfare and just napalm and carpet bombing and Operation Rolling Thunder. Nuts. So, I like this song because it's, like I said, it's like at odds with itself. Vishnu, of course, you have the deity, although Vishnu is kind of badass, and the destroyer of worlds there, and of course there's all this war footage, and it just sounds very, very, very uneasy. There's not a lot of peace, so it's you know, but the pace would tell you otherwise. Pace is kind of chill. But it's very unchill. It's awesome. So I like when people have vision like that in music. But I have to start off with something else tonight that I didn't think we were going to start off with. But this just crossed my path 10 minutes ago. Shiva is the destroyer. Sorry, Brian. Vishnu. I saw Vishnu. Is Vishnu the deity they bathe in milk, Brian? Because I was able to go and witness, I was able to sit in on some of their ceremonies and rituals. Didn't know. But, yeah. Well, either way, the whole deity feel that beat. But this just passed my way a couple of minutes ago. And it immediately ruined my day. So, here we go. Here's from the Hollywood Reporter. Mike May ruined my day with this move. Rogue One. Star Wars Rogue One. Writers Chris Weitz and Gary Whitta compare the Donald to the Empire as new culture of online backlash puts studio tent poles in crosshairs. Here's a quote. You want to be as agnostic as possible. Yeah. Well, let's just listen to this because I would like to take this apart a little bit. Several messages took the crusade further, injecting the new Star Wars film into divide. Oh, wait. On November 11th, Rogue One writer Chris Weitz launched a barrage of anti-Donald Trump tweets that mirrored what many in Hollywood had posted on social media in the wake of the presidential election. You know, that being, you know, the entertainment Marxists that they are, the self-righteous to the T, needed to just come out and virtue signal for everybody. Just virtue signal. And here's the thing, because they, like I said, they're entrenched in our cultural institutions. They're the ones that create the movies and the visuals and everything that we see everything that kids are exposed to now, all of the narratives, they create all of this stuff. They're the ones who control the narratives. And look at how they think, how they really look at diversity. Look at how they, and the reason they have to justify, they have to justify their closed-mindedness, because if they're supposed to, if they're selling themselves as the most loving, equal, accepting type of people, tolerant, accepting type of people for diversity, if you have to sell yourself as that, but inside you know you have to compensate and explain away why you are in fact very fascistic in the way that you control, in the way that you put yourself out there, in the ideas that you push, that you believe everybody else should go along with. So you have to say things like that. You know, you're for everybody, you're diversity, and you have to keep parading around, showing your diversity in very superficial, ridiculous ways, token ways, okay? Token ways. Because what you're really doing is you don't give a shit about diversity. Look at this. Look at this. Do you think the thing that really kills me, because this movie was going to be my escape at the end of the year, because one way or another, the election was over. But these squawky entertainment Marxists, man, I swear to God, they just couldn't shut the fuck up for the sake of what should have been assumed to be a very diverse fan base. But you see, they're so self-important and self-righteous that it doesn't matter. That not only, and it's not even like it's like this is some, you know, new franchise, like the Saw franchise got political. Okay, whatever, it's just Saw. But Disney goes and purchases the rights to Star Wars. They own the rights to Star Wars, which was otherwise very apolitical. It was a story about empire building and rebellions and good against evil, but you knew who was good. You knew who was evil. There was no, you know, subjective interpretation of it. There was good and there was evil. Okay? In Marxist land, there are no hard stances. A Marxist doesn't have hard stances. Everything is relative because you have to be very, very sensitive for other people's feelings. Everything's relative. There's no good, there's no bad, there's nothing. And Star Wars was that way. But now... now, so they take something and they taint it. They take something and they fucking taint it. Several messages took the crusade further, injecting the Star Wars film into a divisive political debate. Quote, please note that the Empire, this is one of the things, please note that the Empire is a white supremacist human organization, wrote Weitz. Added fellow Rogue One scribe Gary Whitta, quote, opposed by a multicultural group led by a brave woman, or led by brave women. Both men change their avatars to rebel insignia with a safety pin in it to signify that they are, in fact, the biggest pussies in the galaxy. A reference to the symbol of solidarity with the persecuted groups that had with persecuted groups. Who is being persecuted? Oh, I know. Swastikas are popping up, and it seems like the people who are writing them don't even know which direction the swastika goes in. You think I believe half of this shit? Should anybody believe half of this shit? First of all, Empire, supremacist group, opposed by somebody that, something that's diverse. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. What the twisting and the turning. It's
probably not gonna. I'm probably not gonna go see it now.
Well, I've got a lifetime of being a fan invested in this. I'm not going to not see it.
I want it.
So, I mean, I understand if you're a new fan and you.
I'm not a new fan. Like I'm 33 years old too, bro. I've grown up watching Star Wars movies. I don't know.
I thought you just watched them for the first times with us.
No, I have a brother that's 30 something years old. I grew up watching Star Wars over and over and over and over. I just never. Like, knew every single, like, detail, like, all the people's names, this or whatever. Like, I knew Han Solo, this and that. But, dude, I've been watching it my whole life. Like, I look forward to seeing the Star Wars movie when it came out, the newest, The Force Awakens, when it came out. I was look forward to it. And I was really looking forward to this one, too. But now I'm kind of not. Like, because when I was watching The Force Awakens, it's just like in that video that whoever made when it's Donald Trump and they're showing Hillary Clinton and like George Soros as the bad guys.
Dan Spratlin in the chat room says, don't know if he personally coined the term, but Joe Rogan called this shit recreational outrage. I can't think of a better term. It's really what it is. This is really all it is.
Wait, they are done. They finished filming it, right?
Yeah, it comes out in a couple days.
I thought, it's almost December.
It's almost December. We're talking like 2.5 weeks here.
Donnie Yen is in it, so.
There's not going to be anything in there. But, here's the thing, everybody. You remember when we were talking about is Star Wars getting too in the bag for the feminism and all this shit? And, you know, are they trying to be political? Well, there's no more speculation. Here are two of the writers of Rogue One that are coming out and saying that the Empire is pretty much Donald Trump and anybody that has any conservative notions of governance. And the Rebellion is first of all led by strong women, so they are making sure that there are women are at the forefront because there is an agenda, not because hey we had a great concept here. Like no, we're going to find a great concept, but we're going to make sure that it's built for a woman. That's what's happening here. There's no creative flaw. I don't give a fuck what the hell they put out, even though none of them are going to be responding to us anytime soon. I can't wait until we have enough numbers so that whenever we fucking say something, it reverberates somewhere. I can't wait for that shit. Because these people are fucking ridiculous. I can't take this shit anymore. They're telling you right here that this is an agenda. They are trying to wipe out and erase the notion of strong leading males. I know somebody's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No. This is what they're trying to erase. They're trying to. There's no balance here. There's no yin and yang. There is just this hard-swinging pendulum. If you think that it's not going to come down the other way and slice throats along the way, you're fucking, this is not, the culture war is going to be the one that destroys us the quickest. And it's happening the quickest. Because I'll tell you something, man. It's not a matter of. Oh, God. When you're trying to get a big movie out, you want to be as agnostic as possible. You want to be able to appeal to everyone irrespective of their political beliefs, says ComScore analyst Paul Dagarabedian. If it's a Michael Moore movie, go for it, or Dinesh D'Souza, then your currency is controversy. But if you're producing something that for the masses, your currency is not controversy. It's get the movie out to the broadest possible audience. They should fire these writers, even though it's already done. They should, but oh my God, they're going to be praised. They're going to be picked up by HBO. They're going to be giving life. They're going to be given lifetime residencies. They'll be kept on retainer. They'll be kept on retainer for the next time they have to throw three seasons of Upchuck in the same vein as Lena Dunham's Girls. They want to come up with three seasons of some Upchuck for something. That's it. Some feminist upchuck. That's what we're all we have to. That's what we're eating every fucking day. Feminist upchuck. Hey guys, we're gonna go on a really quick break because I have a headache and I've been drinking all day and I have to take a piss again. And if I don't do it now, then it's going to be a very uncomfortable 15 minutes, and I'm definitely not making it to the end of the hour anyhow. So I'm going to put on some nice royalty-free music, and I'm going to make it really, really upsetting. Okay? Okay, there you go. I did that in a minute and 34 seconds. That was pretty damn good. And it was a lot, too. A lot came out. Yeah, I was hoping that I at least a lot was going to come out because I'm thinking to myself, I've got to go so bad. If a little comes out, then that's like, what the hell's wrong with me? At least let it be worth it. It was. Trying to get rid of this headache. I see everybody in the chat room. I see what's going on, the Rapture. What's going on, Marion Hart? What's going on, Nikki? And
the Hoss is listening.
Really?
He is.
Good to see you, Hoss.
It's good to see you. Lovely man.
All right, so now I have to get around to some other business. Star Wars, of course, is just... We can actually go into what really is the problem. You can say that it's a white supremacist movement. Well, you can also say it's a clone movement too. It's a movement of indoctrination. The Empire. White supremacist humans. How about a bunch of clones running around?
That's what's happening right now.
How about that? How about how we became an empire through the subversion of a republic? How about creating opposition forces to destabilize the society in which the Republic was based upon? How about that? How we came to this place? Doesn't seem like something that just became, you know, that was Donald Trump. Doesn't seem like something like that. It seems like a rotting, a dry rot from within. That's what it seems like. Where have we been rotting? Where have we been rotting? How has it happened? What's not allowed? What's not allowed anymore? Who are we not allowed to criticize anymore? Hmm? Fake news is in the news again. I have some things to talk about that. I'm trying to get a grip on myself. It's Monday, so you can expect this shit. I thought this was very nice to bring up right about now. New York Post finally writes an article that I can agree with for the most part, because we've talked about this on the show many times before. Nobody has real friends anymore. And of course, you know, when we brought it up on the show, we posed the question, do we have real friends anymore? Like, is somebody, if you were in a jam, a real jam, who could you pick up the telephone and call and ask for help? You know, friends. Not this electron cloud of digital acquaintances that everybody has substituted real life experiences for in one way or another. Imagine you're skimming your Twitter feed and notice a stream of sad tweets from a college friend. Without a moment's thought, you send a funny GIF across the digital divide. Content that you've cheered up your friend and made a positive mark on their day. But wait, you can't quite remember where they're living these days or what they do for work. Did you miss their birthday? Chances are you pop over to Facebook and check. Reassure yourself that you're caught up on their milestones, then go about your day. Are you still friends, even though you haven't seen each other in years or spoken on a non-digital medium? Are all those tools just staying connected actually making you a worse friend? New Yorker Gary Johnson, 38, isn't on Facebook and doesn't get those daily nudges to help, quote, insert name here, celebrate. My friend told me that our other friend recently got engaged, so I called him and he appreciated it, Johnson told the Post. For Johnson, joining countless others in boycotting social media brings peace of mind when it comes to keeping up with the lives of real friends. It doesn't matter to me whether people know about my personal milestones or not, Johnson continued. My real friends typically call me on those occasions, and that's all that matters to me, not Facebook congrats and birthday wishes. And contrary to popular belief, even millennials can find the expectation of remembering online acquaintances events exhausting. So we talked about that before, because I really think that we've slipped into a really bad habit. And then I want to go into some other in real life issues that I thought was funny, because not only do we not have many real friends these days when you think about it, but do you have any real family that wants to deal with you? Do you have any fucking family that wants to deal with you either? And here is from USA Today. The election is getting people uninvited to Thanksgiving. Sarah Jane Cunningham knew that her Facebook posts about the election were rubbing her family the wrong way, but she didn't realize the post would get her uninvited from Thanksgiving dinner. The 19-year-old said her mother called her a week before Thanksgiving and confronted her about the Facebook post regarding President-elect Donald Trump. She asked me if I was going to be disrespectful to my family, and I told her that it could work either way, Cunningham said. If the things I'm saying are disrespectful to Trump supporters, the things they are saying are also disrespectful to me. If the things I am saying are disrespectful to Trump supporters, the things they are saying are also disrespectful to me. She must be one hell of a first date. One hell of a first date. Doesn't she sound like a vindictive little bitch? Doesn't she sound like a stuck-up, vindictive, open bitch?
Yeah, actually, you know, that you're mentioning this, I had a family party yesterday, and both of my cousins, one is a Trump supporter, was not allowed to vote because his wife is a Clinton supporter. Not shitting, he was not allowed to vote. And my other cousin, himself and his wife were both Clinton supporters. Neither one of their wives said hello or goodbye to me yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Because they know I'm pro-Trump.
Yeah, well. And here's the funny thing. They know you're pro-Trump. Everybody knows or has ideas of who voted for Trump and who didn't. And they don't stop to think to themselves, oh, that person is not racist.
No,
that person's
not
this. No. That person's not that. My God, my God, my God. Oh, maybe we will survive. Maybe I should stop being a whiny cunt. You know, and here's the thing. You know, it's just, I can't. This is... So the election is getting people uninvited to Thanksgiving. Good. They're all assholes. Everybody's a fucking idiot. Does this shit. Go for it. And here's what I wanted to bring up tonight, as far as the new media, because this ties into Friday night's broadcast as well, which we need to talk about, because we have some decisions to make. Okay, on Friday's broadcast, we were live at 7 o'clock on the Quite Frankly fan page on Facebook, and we had over 1,500 people watch. Okay, and they say, you know, they count views like 10 seconds or something like that. So you have to at least watch for 10 seconds, something like that. And we know that some of this, and that's just because our page was only like a day old. And because we're a part of this great network, Capstone Broadcasting, and on Facebook they've got a network of pages that accumulates to over 10 million likes. So over the course of the whole hour, the show was being shared as it was live to a number of pages that had on average 500,000 likes. But the problem is because our page is so small, it kind of limited what really happens. Because Gypsy's Hangover Takeover goes live tonight at 9 o'clock. They've had shows. They went live. They had over 50,000 people. You know, Rob Blunt's created an amazing type of a network out there. So there's a lot to be tapped into on Facebook. And of course, the whole thing for me is I want to bring people over to the channel on YouTube, because whatever we do on Facebook, we do four times as much on YouTube. So if they like the show for a Friday night, they're going to like the show Monday through Thursday. So it's all part of the thing here. So we have to think about how often to do it, because, you know, I want to be able to tap into a much larger than 1,500 people. That'd be sick. So, I don't know. There's that. It was a great night. But here is something. First of all, I want to shout out. I want everybody to take a look at the new Gaslight, the new website. So here is the new site right here, everybody. If you go to gaslight.tv, gaslight.tv, we already have great, great pieces that are written up there from great writers. And it's a great site. I'm really, really impressed by it. It's very cozy to me. So check that out. It's got a lot of cool stuff there. And one of the things I wanted to bring up, you know, obviously all the shit that was going on with Hamilton over the weekend. Which I wish everybody just shut the fuck up. Every day, the virtue signaling. Everybody just ripping their shirts open, just baring their chests to the world. That's just what I see. Just people just like, oh. Martyrs. Everybody's a fucking, oh my God, it's just so sick. So check that out, because there's a couple of articles on there from Stephanie Evil and from Based Heisenberg about Hamilton that are great. Especially check out Based Heisenberg's Hamilton, Take 68 Action. Pretty much that's it pays reference to the Federalist paper, Federalist number 68, which was Alexander Hamilton pretty much talking about the importance of the Electoral College. You know, which of course is part of everybody's shtick these days, is the Electoral College is not good because it didn't give us a win. It's just ridiculous. The Electoral College isn't good because it didn't lead us to a victory this year. Of course, if they got it, it would have been like, oh, stop it. But oh, God, the saltiness. Oh, God. So unbecoming what people have been doing. So this morning, I had a friend. I hope we're still friends. God knows how people see each other, especially how they see me, even though I don't really say too much on Facebook anymore. But I think they get the point. I had a friend get in touch with me or tag me in a post this morning. And this is off of my article I wrote today. The new media is still learning how to crawl. Okay? So I'm going to read a little bit from it. A friend tagged me in a post exposing the busing of alleged anti-Trump protesters in Austin, Texas as being, you know, fake news, started by a man in his Instagram who later came out and said, you know, here's the thing here. The guy pretty much admitting that he realized he was wrong in his assumption that these protesters in Austin, Texas, one city, were bussed in. And there you go. So it came out as false. So I was tagged in it because, of course, when the protests started happening across the country in a very organized way that we've seen before, I put everything out there saying that this is just these protests are being funded And it's not, no, not, are hundreds of thousands of people being given hundreds of dollars each to go out there and protest? No, absolutely not. But all you need to do is just light the candle and the moths will come. Well, that's all you got to do. We've just gone through 8 years of Barack Obama blowing every type of dog whistle in the from the White House to get people riled up and ready to act. He has not. I have one friend of mine. I contacted him personally because I didn't want to make a public spectacle out of it. I asked him. I said, "Hey, in your opinion, don't you think that this is the last chance that Barack Obama has to be anything close to the unifier we hoped he all would have been when the majority of the country voted him in 2008, a large amount of those votes that went toward him in 2008 being now for Donald Trump, not because everybody just magically became racist, mind you, but this really is his last chance to be anything like the person we all hoped he would be. But still, he's not pumping the brakes at all. He's encouraging people to stay vocal and to not be happy with the results. And it very, very enabling ways he continues to blow the dog whistle. Okay, these people are just, you know, that's it, man. They're leaving a firebomb behind. Loving every minute of it, too. And, of course, because there was an uprising in this country, uprising against the media, and the spell had been broken for enough people who were willing to pay attention so that they voted against it. Enough people were willing to pay attention to what we were being shown the entire year through the leaks, everything that was confirmed through the leaks alone, Project Veritas. We've seen how these protests are funded, the paper trail, and also the conversations about them behind closed doors, how it's done, who they go after, who they ask to go out there and start the fights, pick fight, you know, to grab hats off of people's heads, to shove a little bit until they get punched in the face. We've seen it all. But this tweet comes out, and I'm tagged in it. I'm tagged in it because I guess I needed to be woken up. I guess I needed to be woken up. So I'm saying to myself, okay, so naturally, I guess we all need to forget about WikiLeaks now. And because of this tweet and the DNC and forget about John Podesta and forget about the agent provocateurs they have out there. Forget about Project Veritas, all that. Forget about that. Forget about the paper trails between multinational corporations and protest movements, starting with Occupy Wall Street. And you could probably even go farther back if you wanted to. But of the modern era, the post-9/11 era, I mean, think about it. I mean, the uptick started with Occupy Wall Street, unless you have something else to point to, in which case, call me up. Skype is Zen Live TV. But all that's gone now, it seems, because Mr. So-and-so from Austin, Texas, got a lot of people to believe that the buses in Austin were for Trump protesters without, get this, examining the facts or the evidence first and quickly jump to conclusions. Where have we seen that kind of behavior before from people who didn't want to wait for facts or didn't want to wait for evidence and jumped to conclusions and went off and acted very poorly? I don't know. It's almost as if it's a human condition. Human condition that we all need to start owning up to and breaking. Got to break the cycle. I should start by saying that anyone who takes Instagram photos as a be-all, end-all in news is doing more hurt to our collective hopes of ending this culture war than they can ever expect to help. There is a lot of bad information out there, but the cure is not censorship, as is being pushed right now, with fake news and making these lists of websites where the news is fake and they should be completely stricken from Google search engines and people should avoid them at all costs. That's what's going on now. They don't even say conspiracy theory because that's six syllables. They need something very, very simple for the dummies who are eating this up. Fake news. Conspiracy theory sounds interesting. You'll go look into it. You might even get sucked in. But fake news? You're thinking Norm Macdonald. You're thinking Saturday Night Live Weekend Update. There's a reason for all this shit. The Cure, once again, not censorship, The Cure, once again, is the individual taking responsibility for what they are accepting as truth and for what they pass on to someone else, no matter which stance is taken on any issue. I don't care if you, how the hell you vote. You need to be, I mean, you need to take responsibility. Of course, there are going to be mistakes in reporting and sharing information as we continue to reject the same media that turned us into the animals that we are in the first place. We're going to learn how, we're learning how to crawl, walk, and run all over again as we source material from our peers and independent journalists and commentators. All this means is that what we need is the individual to take responsibility in researching, confirming, and denying claims, while trying their best to detach themselves from cognitive biases. So pretty much going out there and trying to find information to reinforce your own biases and what you're looking out there. Confirmation. That's all you're looking for. Got to get away from that. And the other thing everybody has to stop trying to do is trying to avoid painting both opponents and allies with broad strokes. Don't think your allies are perfect, and don't ever think your opponents are all evil. This is very, very bad. Why do you think that they're so self-righteous? They believe that they are pure and angelic in the way that they come across. So, the thing about that is, who has the time to do that kind of news curation? Who has the time to do that kind of that reading of the news, the listening, the researching, cross-referencing and looking at the history of something just so you're not regurgitating names and phrases and events without knowing it actually was there? Educating yourself, because the news is not educating you. You're being told what to think right now. So it's the only way that we're going to continue to go on this somewhat of a restorative path that we're on that started on election night. We took a really nasty medicine on election night, but at least we avoided the arsenic. Okay? If Donald Trump, I mean, Donald Trump may be like the worst type of Robitussin you've ever taken, but Hillary Clinton was strychnine. Okay? So where do people have time? If you don't make the time, and you're going to have to, even if you just listen to a couple of podcasts that you can trust, anything. I'm not saying me. I'm just saying anything. There are good people out there. They're, you know, really, really good. I can make references, too. People, you know, good stuff. Whatever you can do, just stay away from the shit. Stay away from the shit. Because if you don't have time for that, then there's lots of mama birds out there that are looking to feed you. They're going to half digest the news for you. They're going to tell you exactly what you need to know, bare bones, and that's it. You have an understanding of the news, as deep of an understanding of the news as it takes to get a tweet out. How much context can you get within a tweet, in a headline? Context is what's going to break us loose. Okay, everybody thinks that they've got this diverse utopia building up right now, this colorful world of everything. We're living in black and white. Context gives you color. False world of black and white. You know why it's false? Because when I used to watch all those black and white films, a lot of them, especially with my grandparents, and I still do today, but I always used to forget that the world was actually in color, that the film was just black and white. And that there was different, you know, it's like, I didn't think, especially as a little kid, never thought. I thought eventually my grandparents went from black and white to color, you know? You know, you never think that Lucille Ball was a stunning redhead, you know, unless she had a portrait painted of her. I didn't know that Lucille Ball was a stunning redhead. I thought that she was a brunette for a while. That's the type of stuff there. it was a misunderstanding. But I got some context. I got some color. We all need to color shit in. Because, my God, Lucille Ball is so much more stunning as a redhead than she is a brunette. Look what we're missing out on. Let me finish this, then I want to say my thank yous. Now you can read it for yourself. It's on Gaslight.tv. The new media is still learning how to crawl. But actually, no, it gets around to wrapping up what was sent to me because of the debunked Instagram picture. Judging by the fact that the mainstream media has lower approval ratings than Congress itself, we all seem to agree that the media is... We all seem to agree, in one way or another, that the media is bullshit and the media is dangerous. Unless, of course, the narrative speaks to a specific group's personal interest. In that case, people gleefully follow the trail of breadcrumbs back into the spiteful embrace of the same television they vehemently distrusted just the day before. It's like watching an abusive, on-and-off, polyamorous relationship devour our friends and family every day. They don't trust the media one day. The next day, somebody in the media said something that confirmed their bias. You know, and it. And if, here's the real thing that really kills me about this tweet, or this Instagram, whatever the hell it is. The thing that really gets me is, a story pops up false. So does that mean that nothing, it's like it's never happened? Nothing else is not happening out there. So for example, I think, because you have to understand, I have to take I have to assume that I was tagged in that, like I said, to be woken up to something that I'm thinking ridiculously, and that all the Trump protests are legitimate, okay, because some guy on Instagram made a whoopsie in Austin, Texas. Just lets you see how small they think the country is, most people. You know, something happens in one small city in Missouri, and all of a sudden, everybody's looking for hate crimes in their backyard. That's just what it is, and that's the other big problem with collective thinking. That not every neighborhood is fucked up. Not every city is fucked up. Not every state has an economic problem. You know, people live how they do regionally. Regionally. We've got like 50 different countries, cultures, all different types of things going on in this country. But it's like everything is collectivist. It's so reductive. It's ridiculous. I mean, and think about this. How do you think people would for the rape culture people out there, the 1 in 5 people out there, how would you like for someone to take any of the number of high profile or low profile fake rape accusations of the last couple of years alone as a means to say that there is no rape going on? How would you like that? Seriously. You know, this is why we need an unbiased system of vetting. Because just like the rape, think about the rape situation, the rape condition, for example, is because there are fake rape accusations out there, and we know that they happen, and they happen often, is because there are fake rape accusations out there, we don't take any claimed rape seriously? No, not at all. But there's a reason why there's a need for due process. And there's a reason why an accusation does not lead to mass indictment of a group of people or one person without a jury or any kind of day in court or any kind of, I mean, assessment of information or facts or evidence. Just like you can't dismiss it all, you can't condemn all either. There needs to be a balance, but there's no balance. We've been taken completely out of balance. Nobody wants to admit where they're fucking wrong. It's unbelievable. So, I was tagged in this for no other reason than to wake me up. I know that. To show me that the protests are completely legitimate. Which is funny to me because, you know, the rage built up around Trump alone is completely illegitimate. All the rage built up around Donald Trump in the first place is illegitimate. You can take almost, every claim of racism and xenophobia and white supremacy and the KKK and all this shit that has been lumped onto him. Even down to the fake rape accusations there as well. Everything else lumped onto him can be explained away. Seriously, down to the reporter that everybody said that they made fun of, he made fun of, that was disabled, has been without a doubt categorically proven to be false. Categorically false. But then it just comes down to policies. Then you're assessing the man and you're assessing the platform. People don't really have time for that conversation, I guess. And it's just not part of their anything. It really kills me. You know, and he talks too much, of course. He's inarticulate at the worst times. When he can put things to bed, he gets like, I don't know what happens. He starts talking and thinking in circles and he just doesn't stop. So yes, he was the perfect candidate to frame as all the bigoted things you can throw him out there, because he's just, I don't know. He doesn't tiptoe through the minefield. That's for damn sure. He actually rolls through it. So it's all very, very. Remember, this is a weekend's worth of shit. Seeing. So tomorrow I'll be a lot more easy going, hopefully. Let me thank all my bosses from Patreon.com who are members of the 1776 Club and the 1984 Club and all them. So depending on what it is, whether we do a Google Hangouts, there's lots of perks out there. Google Hangouts, shout-outs on the show every night, handwritten letters, all good stuff. Check out Patreon.com/ quite frankly. Monday nights are always manic. Please, stick with me. It gets really fun. So here are my bosses. I want to shout them out. Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Varis, Perry and Stacy. What's going on, Perry and Stacy? Mike May, Matt Smith, Sean Collins, Christian Peppas, Max Ancaparato from Colorado. Max has a great article out on Gaslight.tv as well. Check him out. Red-Blooded America has published. Gadgetdoc has published. Stephanie Evil has published. Based Heisberg, you know. Liberty Bill has published twice already. Check them out. We got great writers on Gaslight.tv. Rob Corrado. My man, Rob. Dan L.S. Dan L.S., I would be stupid if I didn't call you L.S. Dan. So that's what I'm going to call you. L.S. Dan. Rudy Escarcega, Jackie Milam, Eric Reitz, Whitney McShen, Matt DeFabio, Brad Meyer, Jenny Lee, Kate McCallum, Brian Gadgetdoc O'Connor, Marianne Hart, Brent Antilles of Rogue Squadron, the sullied Rogue Squadron, and of course, StephanieKBeauty.com. Good friend Stephanie K, and she has a fantastic fantastic business for turning people's faces into what it wasn't before she got there. Check her out, StephanieKBeauty.com. So here's a little something I wanted to get around to. Let me see what's going on in the chat room, first of all. What's going on YouTube? You know, Dan, it's true. Dan says the likes are more important than truths. And that's at the end of, you know, at the end of the article that I wrote. Sadly, this doesn't seem to matter to many. because we're not in the business of truth, justice, and the American way anymore. We're in the business of winning Facebook arguments and slinging passive-aggressive hashtags around. We're in the business of virtue signaling on behalf of socio-political elitists who have no intent on making the world a better place, because if the world were a better place, we wouldn't have any use for them. We're in the business of allowing the most intimate details of our lives to become politicized so that there is little to no way to relate to someone who lives or thinks or votes differently than the person next to them. You think about it, when your love life is your own, when your sexual identity is your own, when all these things are your own, when your relationships are your own and they're private, and when you have privacy, when you have a private life and you have your family and your friends and your jobs and your careers, when you have that privacy, it's very simple to make friends with people that you'd never expect to make friends with. Because then all of a sudden, all the private things that tend to be politicized by people to drive wedges into society, cut you up like a fucking pie, and make sure you never reconnect again, those who use against us, who we're attracted to, who we love, how much money we make, skin color, religion, doesn't matter, under attack. We got people still stuck in the hamster wheel, and we have to stop it. It's up to us. You know, and what I want to bring up is, especially with Gaslight.tv, here's something, the biggest thing here. The fake news thing is the newest front, because the fake news revealed the fake news, I say, you know, sarcastically, the fake news revealed too much truth about the world. And the fake news was able to beat the Clintons and throw the left back. And hopefully, we are able to throw them back, at least in the courts, for 30 to 50 years to stop this insanity and get back to the Constitution. You know, but right now, it hasn't stopped, which is why the fake news thing comes out. So they suffer a massive defeat. The media, in particular, all of them, Fox, all the way down. So they suffer a massive defeat this election. They had no control over the candidate. Well, they had control over Bernie Sanders because the Democrat Party was, you know, they own the media and the, you know, the superdelegate situation, which is more, I mean, seriously. Come on. You don't even have the freedom as Democrat voters to choose your nominee. You're talking about how the country's fucked up because the Electoral College didn't give you a candidate? You didn't even have the candidate you wanted because the party wouldn't let you. So you never had a choice, you fucking idiot. You didn't choose Trump and you didn't choose fucking Hillary. None of you did. Only the idiots like Rachel Maddow with her blink. You ever notice how Rachel Maddow, when she starts speaking, and she gets into posturing chicken mode. She just gets her eyes just like flutter. Watch the blinking of Rachel Maddow. Especially when she speaks, it's like a nervous tick. Whenever she speaks, the eyes flutter. It's very weird. So They suffered a massive defeat. This media, this shitty, this onslaught, these monsters. But right now they just have to just deal with Trump. They have 4 years, have to deal with him. Okay, but that doesn't mean that they're not going. The monster isn't going to be coming back. You don't think that they're looking to safeguard against future failure. That's why this news needs to be told. This needs to be called out. And there needs to be new referendums on what is real news and what isn't. And it needs to be shown to people now. These are fake news sites. Stay away from them. Anything on here is fake. Don't worry about it. Because these are the news sites that brought them down. Mm-hmm. So this is the next phase in the game, everybody. And I'm going to tell you something. This stretches to Google. This stretches to Facebook. They're all going to be in the bag for shutting down and limiting the reach of anything that they believe is fake news or goes against any kind of globalist agenda, because this is about globalism. Look at the people on the left. They do not love this country. They don't love this country. I know some, and I hear myself saying that, and I can feel eyes rolling. I'm not saying it in a really fucked up way. I'm not saying it in any kind of cliched way. Why is it a bad thing to love your home? Think of how you run your households at home. It's just on a larger scale. Control what you can. And don't impose your shit onto anybody else. But, you know, it really gets me, because, you know, you got Facebook and Google. They're going to really be cracking down on this stuff. So I'm telling you, we've got to safeguard ourselves now against this stuff. So if you're on Facebook, subscribe to the YouTube. If you're on YouTube, make a burner account on Facebook just so you can subscribe to the fan page. Subscribe to the podcast version of this show, and any show too, on iTunes, SoundCloud. Just get yourself dug in. Twitter, get yourself dug in. Find alternatives, because it's going to be sweeping. Now, if Hillary Clinton was elected, I believe that we would have real problems. You would have had these far left judges that would have, I mean, any kind of media or hate crime law or executive order or anything that is intended to subvert and to manipulate and limit the First Amendment, there would have been nothing stopping it. There would have been nothing stopping it. You want to talk about witch hunts and McCarthyism? The opposite's being is happening now. The commies are looking for the capitalists. The commies are looking for the individualists. The commies are looking for the classical liberals. They're trying to root them out, trying to stifle their voices because they're just too strong, and they speak. The logic is too consistent. It's too dangerous to have anybody be able to be exposed to this on any kind of a basis to which they might actually start thinking outside of the ideological bubble. This is very, very dangerous. The internet. The curtailing of free speech is on the top of the list, especially since it was free speech is what brought them down. That and the left running with the most corrupt candidate who's ever run for political office, despite what all of the feminists on Lenny Letter write. And of course, Gaslight.tv. I'll tell you guys, I'm a pretty selfless person, and I don't look at this in any other way but to try to have good times again one day and try to be a part of some kind of a renaissance. Because it's not about what one person. I want to talk to all different types of people, and I want to work with all different types of people. I send invites to people all the time to come on this show, to call in, to have their voices heard, and especially all of the writers on Gaslight.tv. These are very popular, well-read bloggers, and they have amazing things to say, and they're pretty fair about everything. So fair that you don't know what side you are on with them at times on certain issues, because it gets so philosophical that you really need to leave a lot of things behind to even entertain some of these thoughts of just how far individual responsibility and the role of government in our lives really are, and history, the interpretation of history, blunt truths, and context, the context you don't get. We've got economic history writers, got a lot of great stuff, and I wanted to get them all on the same team with me because I respect their writing, and I really think that we all need to even be wary of places like Tumblr. places like WordPress and Blogger. I know, you know, we're hosted in Squarespace, but, you know, we need to start the brand somewhere. God knows what all these platforms are going to do. We need to try to find a way where we have these little alcoves, these islands where we can congregate on and still get a message out. Because for anybody to think that, you know, everybody says, oh, what do you think? You're entitled to this, entitled to that. The other thing that we are not entitled to is to be able to grow and maintain a massive following on somebody else's creation. And always have control over that and never expect for the platform to change and for the company to go into a different direction, whether they want to get political or they change the algorithm to hit certain types of people. They can do it overtly or they can do it covertly. None of us have any, we are not entitled to any of the followings that we built up on Twitter. We're not entitled to any of that shit. We'd like to think we are. You know, I was real pissed off when we got about 12,000 likes on our Zidals in New York page on Facebook. And then all of a sudden, everything you share is not even seen by 50 people unless you boost the post with money. It's like, okay, now we gotta pay to reach the following we built on our own. This is just it, guys. So dig in. Gaslight.tv, all the channels, dig in. We gotta dig in. Because the monster is never dead. The monsters on the left, never dead. They always come back at the end. Doesn't matter how many times you shoot them. Need silver bullets. There's no silver bullets in the real world. The monster always comes back. So, that's what I got. That's all I got today on that. Did the thank yous. Put that over here. 8:01 p.m. Let's see who else is in the chat room. Guys, is any of this coherent? Have I made points tonight, or have I been rambling? Have I been off tonight? I feel off. So call in. Let me know what you think. I want to hear what you guys think. Please do so. Skype is zenlive.tv. And let me see. There's one other thing I wanted to get around to tonight. New media, still learning how to crawl. We did that. Brad Meyer says it's coherent. Okay, thank God. Because I really think I'm just... And of course, Frankie Castle says, nope, just normal Frank babble. You know, but here's some other things I got here. I want to talk about, whatchamacallit, Jeff Sessions at some point. We're not going to be able to do it tonight. We'll do it tomorrow. Fake news sites removed by authors and blah, blah, blah. Leftist professor who wrote the hit list of fake news. We got that. Fake. Facebook fixing fake news problem with CEO at a trade summit. So watch out. That's Associated Press. InfoWars put out times when the mainstream media created fake news, which, you know, that would be interesting. Maybe we'll read into that. We'll do that for tomorrow. Here is an article I found from, I think, 2011. Why don't we hear about Soros' ties to over 30 major news organizations? Including NPR. Spent $27 million in 2004 to try to defeat Bush. He has ties to more than 30 mainstream news outlets as of 2011, including New York Times, Washington Post, Associated Press, NBC, and ABC. Lots of interesting stuff there, so you want to talk about how far those roots go. Fake news. Look at who the fuck is funding them. There's something else I wanted to get around to tonight. This was it. What's going on, Gadget Doc?
Hey, I saw that you were trying to find some of the articles we went over, trying to get things done. Did we talk about Did we talk about the robot sex?
Which?
I sent you an article in the chat. There's another robot sex thing where it's going to have a vibrator and lubricate.
Oh, yes, yes. We covered that already. We did.
All right, and
yeah.
And did we cover the – sorry, I've kind of been going back and forth. Did we also cover the Ergaron pardoning basically pedophiles?
That's what I wanted to go to right now. Now, what does this mean for Turkey right now as far as where it's going? We have a Turkish bill. This is from BBC.com, so bigblackcock.com. Turkish bill clears men of statutory rape if they marry their victims. So a bill which would allow men accused of raping underage girls to be cleared if they marry the girl has been preliminarily backed by the Turkish MPs. So I don't even know how to even dissect this.
All right, so we're going into basically tribal culture or hadith. Now there's actually a precedent for this way back in you know early Islamic times when Muhammad married a 9-year-old girl. He didn't consummate the marriage until she was of like 13, 14, but he did marry her. But again, we're talking 6th century, Arab peninsula where they had just finished murdering one another. Okay? So we're going into a regressive form of Islam. And this is very scary for Turkey. Turkey has, since its founding after the First World War, has been a very secular state. Ataturk made it that way. Erdogan is taking it to a very conservative Islamist state. I mean, he's rolling it back. Give it another 10 to 15 years, it'll be more backwards than Saudi Arabia when it comes to women's rights, human rights, and even child labor rights. Now, you also got to understand in Afghanistan and Syria, because they're in war zones, some of these fathers will sell their little girls to very rich Egyptians or whatever. So this is a way for the very wealthy to get fresh girls. Now, they can – so let's say they statutory rape her.
Uh-huh.
They marry her and then go a couple weeks, then divorce her. They can do that kind of crap. So it's basically the gutting of any civil law or any sense of Western ideals. And we're going to basically a pre-Islamic state in Turkey.
Fucking caveman shit.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
We're running like a bunch of goddamn Neanderthals.
I don't understand.
Yeah, well, Erdogan is a full-out dictator now. They should have overthrown him in the first part of the turn of the century when they had a chance. Now he's so ingrained, and he's gone into Islamic populism, if you will, and the very conservative backlash towards globalism, if you will, in Turkey, that everybody's going into their religious stuff and saying, well, maybe if we go to a more pure form of Islam, things will be better. We won't have these problems that we're seeing. We're basically in proto-terrorist territory with this. This is the stuff that the jihadis, the radical fundamentalist jihadis, start to believe. This is how it starts. This is extremely dangerous. They have atomic weapons on that peninsula, or they did. And, if they're also a NATO ally. So they could screw up and literally get us involved in a war, because an attack on one is attack on all. So they could false flag and get us involved into a wider war like that.
So good stuff. Good stuff that continues to come out of that side of the world, which is part Asia, part Europe. So that's great. That's great that they're at the gateway to Europe too. So, my God. Well, Gadget Doc, thank you for the call, man.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Definitely, be well. And everybody, please check out Gadget Doc's latest. I believe that Gadget was one of the first people to publish, if not the first. So check him out on Gaslight.tv. Here's more. European Union orders British press not to report when terrorists are Muslim. In France, Muslim terrorists are never Muslim terrorists, but lunatics, maniacs, and youths. To attack freedom of the press and freedom of speech is not anti-hate speech, it's submission. By following these recommendations, the British government would place Muslim organizations in a kind of monopoly position where they would become the only source of information about themselves. It is a perfect totalitarian information order created to guard against the kind of xenophobic and anti-Semitic propaganda that gave rise to the Holocaust. National hate speech laws have increasingly been invoked to criminalize speech that is merely deemed insulting to one's race, ethnicity, religion, or nationality. It is disturbing to wonder how long the EU will strongly engage its experts and influence to cut through existing legal obstacles in a quest to criminalize any type of criticism of Islam and to submit to the values of jihad. According to the European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance, ECRI, the part of the Council of Europe, the British press is to blame for increasing hate speech and racist violence. On October 4, 2016, the ECRI released a report dedicated only to Britain. The report said, "Some traditional media, particularly tabloids, are responsible for the most of the offensive, discriminatory, and provocative terminology. The Sun, for instance, published an article in April 2015 entitled, 'Rescue Boats, I'd Use Gunships to Stop Migrants,' in which the columnist likens migrants to cockroaches. The Sun newspaper has also published inflammatory anti-Muslim headlines, such as its front page of the 23rd of November 2015, which read, 1 in 5 Brit Muslims sympathy for jihadis, along with a picture of a mass terrorist wielding a knife." So you keep going on this, this, and this. And we've been seeing this because the crime rates are up, sexual assault and rape is up all across Western Europe. Not only that, but we went through the list of all of the confirmed ISIS attacks in Europe starting from last year's Paris attack. We went through that list. Many of you never even heard before, but they were confirmed and they were kind of hush hush. Some of them you heard about, the McDonald's attack, Nice, all that Belgium. I mean, goes around. Forget about what's going on on the continent of Africa with Boko Haram and the rest of them. Forget about that, because of course this is all, you know, nobody has ever changes their Facebook photo for Nigeria. Nobody will ever change their Facebook photos for that, no. But they gloss over this. You're not allowed to see what the hell's going on. The crime rates are rising, but they're changing the description. They never describe the attackers. They apologize. They invite more and more in. Bend backwards, backwards, backwards. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And you start seeing what was once secular countries like Turkey making laws that are pretty much saying okay to pedophilia. And then you look at all of the normalization of pedophilia that's going on in leftist media and people with different types of expressions of sexuality. Here's from the Express, Express.co from March 2014. "We can't prove sex with children does them harm," says labor-linked NCCL. Evidence has emerged that the views of pedophile information exchange influence the pedophile information exchange influenced policymaking at the National Council for Civil Liberties when it was run by former Labor Health Secretary Patricia Hewitt. PI members were lobbying NCCL officials for the age of consent to be reduced and campaigning for pedophile love. Their view that children were not harmed by having sex with adults appears to have been adopted by those at the top of the civil liberties group. Today we publish extracts from an NCCL report written for the Criminal Law Revision Committee in 1976 when Mrs. Hewitt was a general secretary. It says, where both partners are aged 10 or over, but under 14, a consenting sexual act should not be an offense, as the age of consent is arbitrary. We propose an overlap of 2 years on either side of 14. So they say, okay, well, if you're soft enough to even listen to this person, the first bait that's thrown out into the water to try to catch you, hook, line, and sinkers, to say, okay, we'll do an overlap of 2 years either way. An overlap. All that does is go. They're going to ask for a four-year overlap next. And then when you say no, it'll be a civil liberties issue. I'm sorry, everybody. This is the way it's done. This is the way it's done. This is the reason why there's so much problem. There's so many problems out there. There are sick fucks out there. Sick fucks out there that want everybody else to be sick along with them. And I'm not... We're talking about the issue at hand. The issue at hand. Everything we're talking about right now, the pedophilia, stuff like that. That's what we're talking about. Don't go broad stroking anything. So you got that. And then, of course, you have Sweden, where the assault has been going through the roof. But what do they have? They're trying new things out with feminist snow plowing systems. So, listen to this. A feminist strategy for clearing the roads of snow in Stockholm ended in failure as the city ground to a halt in recent days. A new system suggested by progressive politicians in the Swedish city tore up, tried and tested snowplow routes. Oh, that's it. This is too loud. They tried and tested snowplow routes and diverted them to areas said to be used more by women. Okay, so they forget about the snowplowing routes and all that stuff. They want to go out there and be so progressive that the plows are going to go out to pave the way for women who don't need help from anybody because they're just as capable as men. Remember, but the plow's going to go there first. But the inevitable consequence that was the other places, like main roads, were clogged up for longer and it became impossible to get around. Public transport failed, traffic piled up, and injuries required hospital visit it reportedly spiked. The disaster struck despite the $270,000 increase in this year's snow removal budget meant to help the new system succeed. The gender equal strategy came in last year after politicians in the Swedish Green Party argued that the old way of clearing major roads in central area favors men who are more likely to work in the city and get there by car. Instead, the plows were then sent there. Star Wars. Here's Star Wars for you. This is how Star Wars was cast, everybody. And guess what? It'll be a fucking failure from here on in now. The farther this goes, they don't write their ways. They don't write their ways. It's just going to be a failure. It never works out. We know why you're doing it. We know why you're doing it. And it is antithetical to nature. Don't stop nature. It'll always come back around. Even after the atomic bomb is dropped, nature will reconsume the earth. Let me see here. Instead, the plows were sent to clear out sidewalks and cycle paths on the basis that women walk and bike often. Oh, Imagine that. We need to get all of the bike paths and the walk paths cleared for women because their walk and their bike ride is more important than the men having to get to work in the cities who need the main roads to be cleared. You see? You wonder why they're so bad at math, too, because look what their fucking priorities are. Stop people from getting to work so women can go for hikes. Walk through the winter wonderland in Sweden. Indeed, almost a week later, buses are still struggling to run, and some 1,700 public transport passengers are planning to sue. Progressive politicians have gone on the defensive with the MP who suggested it's claiming that the snowplows hadn't executed gender-equal plan properly. Where have we seen this before? Oh, I know that this country melted down in the wake of all the socialist policies, but it's only because socialism wasn't tried properly. We didn't put enough into it. It's not our fault. We are ideologically pure. All we want is for everybody to be equal and free and getting the same things, but only some people get to be more equal than others because, of course, they're just as equal, but we need to make sure that they're given special treatment for all the times that they weren't equal but should have been. Welcome to the quicksand that is the mind of a liberal. Quicksand. Here are some of the comments I loved on this article. How the fuck do you gender segregate snow plowing? And someone else just said, Sweden. Which, yeah, Sweden. Remember, this is the same Sweden that even though refugees are groping their way across the country, they are worried about women getting their bike paths plowed. And also that there are complaint lines set up for women that they can call in and they can complain when somebody's mansplaining. Remember, Sweden was the country that made the mansplaining hotline. This is where their priorities are. This is how nations die. All right, guys, we have to do heavy stuff tonight. Because there was a blockage inside of me. So we did the snowplow, did that. Tomorrow we'll start off with something very, very important and very creepy because we have to start asking
Eric
questions.
Eric Prince, founder Blackwater.
We're going to be listening to the Breitbart interview with Eric Prince, who's the founder of Blackwater and a former Navy SEAL. Okay, we listened to this on November 4th, 4 days before the election. This was actually maybe about a day or so before Comey comes out and says that on that Sunday, I think it was November 6th was that Sunday, yes. So this is 2 days before James Comey comes out and says that we're not reopening the case into Hillary Clinton, everything's fine. Everything's fine, she got a good bill of health. There's something that we need to talk about. Because leading up to that day, leading up to Monday, the Monday before the election, we were all eyes were on NYPD. Do you remember why? Well, we have to talk about this. We have to talk about WikiLeaks. Not the WikiLeaks. We have to talk about the Wienergate emails. We have to talk about John Podesta. We have to talk about Pizzagate. And we have to talk about what we were exposed to and what the NYPD vowed that they would expose if nothing had happened in time with the FBI before Hillary Clinton would be elected. Which I wonder. No, I don't. That's not it. But we'll come back tomorrow night. We'll do that first. So this is going to be something pretty interesting. Tomorrow night on this show right here. Thank you guys for hanging out. And we'll see you all soon. And I promise tomorrow night I'll be a lot more articulate. You know, all that good stuff. Good night, everyone.